Oh, it's a fun time of year, Dave. Walking into the office every day and people are talking about their drafts and their teams. Everybody's just talking fantasy football.
I had a guy come in who told me I had to draft for a buddy of mine. And the only rule, the only thing he really wanted on his team was the Seahawks DST. And so the guy drafted him the Seahawks DST in round, guess.
Six.
Sooner.
Oh, no. Four?
Four.
Oh, that's so
bad. But he got him the Seahawks DST. I said, you could have waited until at least round seven. He's like, nope. Wanted to make sure I got it for him. Like, it would be utter failure if he didn't get him the Seahawks DST.
Oh, man.
This is why you need to draft for yourselves, people. Don't leave your drafting to other people, unless those other people are us.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then we're not doing it for you.
Well, we're going to go through some email stuff here. It's a mailbag show, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Also going to talk about players that we keep drafting, the Pittsburgh running backs, and more. Go through some news and notes. We have a live video show today. We're going to be joined by a guy named Jim Nantz, is it?
I don't know if you pronounce the Z. It might be Jim Nant.
Jim Nant. Jim Nantz is coming on to talk about a team he drafted, so that should be fun.
He's been playing fantasy football for a long time. People who are diehard fantasy gamers, they know all about how long Jim's been playing.
Yeah.
It's always fun to talk to him about fantasy football. It's either going to go one or two ways. Either he's going to be very complimentary of our work, or he's going to call me out on something that I wrote. Do you remember when he did that many years ago?
I do not remember that.
There was a Steelers-Ravens game to begin the season, and I said, I know you drafted Ray Rice with the first-round pick, but I'd be nervous to start him against Steelers first game of the year. And people were actually, you know, thinking about sitting Ray Rice, and Ray Rice went out and torched the Steelers that game. And Nantz let me hear about it right there on the air. That was funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, and he'll be on at right about noon Eastern time, so check that out. On the website today, if you can't watch it live, you can watch everything on demand.
Thad Lewis was cut by the Bills. Remember when he was the starter there? He wasn't horrible, but that's crazy to me. He's going to get a job soon.
Well, the Rams need a quarterback. So.
Rams could use his services, perhaps.
That could happen. Bill O'Brien says Arian Foster will be ready for week one.
Yeah, but will he be ready for week four, week seven, week 10?
When would you draft him?
I think we've been seeing him go in round three in a bunch of our drafts, and I think that's a comfortable time to draft Arian Foster.
And then you feel like you have to take Grimes?
I would. I like Grimes. I think he's having the best preseason of any Texans running back.
Would you go Ellington?
Which isn't saying much, but yeah, it's what it is.
Ellington or Foster?
I've got Foster one spot ahead of Ellington. And I've got the same type of concerns for both guys in that health is an issue. Because Ellington, I mean, he's been frail before in his career, too. The one thing with Ellington, he's a little thin.
Yeah.
He is a little thin.
He's short.
Not quite 200 pounds, but yeah. But I loved how he was pushing piles in the preseason game against the Bengals. That was cool. One other thing, Ellington, I don't know how many touchdowns he's going to get. If Foster plays 14 games, that's a candidate for 8 touchdowns.
Washington safety Brandon Merriweather is suspended for 2 games for a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Mm-hmm.
Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount still could face suspensions from the team here. The Steelers are saying they're not out of the woods yet.
Remember what they did with Santonio Holmes?
No.
Back in the day when he got busted on a similar situation, they suspended him for a game.
And that's why you're the fantasy analyst, Dave.
Well, no, I just have a dumb memory for stuff like this. So there is a chance that they could suspend both running backs for week one. That would also be as crazy as drafting the Seahawks DST in round four.
Are you shying away from Le'Veon Bell?
No. I still think he's the best running back there. Ultimately, the Steelers want to win football games. I don't know if they can do that with Dree Archer as their full-time running back. I don't know if he can handle that.
Would you rather have Bell or Foster?
I have Bell ranked ahead of Foster. So give me Le'Veon.
Bell or Stacy?
I think I have Bell ahead of Stacy, too. In fact, I know I do. What do you think about that?
I feel like I don't want to take Le'Veon Bell.
Why? Because he smoked a little?
No, because I'm worried he's not going to score touchdowns. And also, it's not like LeGarrette Blount is some stiff. You know, like last year, Mendenhall...
Right.
Right, you look at Mendenhall, and let's just say Mendenhall was the running back again, or Jonathan Dwyer. Jonathan Dwyer is not going to take that job and run with it or whatever, but Blount is still fairly young, showed that he's got a lot left in the tank last year. So PPR leagues, I feel better about Le'Veon Bell, but standard scoring league or half-point PPR league, I waited until round four to take him. That's how uncomfortable I felt drafting Le'Veon Bell in a half-point PPR league.
I'd be fine in round three with Le'Veon Bell, and it's because I believe in him as a talent. I believe that he's the better fit for that offense and the direction that they want to go in.
Agreed.
Not that LeGarrette can't do the no-huddle thing, because he did in New England, and he did well with it in New England. But the overall track record with Le'Veon is much better than
with
LeGarrette.
Year.
Yeah, but look at all the goal line scores he had last year. Look at all the catches he had last year. Look at how effective he was.
You've got a bow tie to remember him by,
I believe.
Was that the bet?
That was the bet, is if Le'Veon didn't have, I think, six fantasy points or seven.
Oh, that's the Minnesota game where he finally...
Right.
I like him a lot.
I won that bet by the first half.
I just don't love the blunt presence there.
Blunt presence could take him off the field sometimes. There's no doubt
he
about it.
He told you that Blunt's going to be the goal line guy.
But it's really not up to him if that happens. Eventually, something's going to happen where LeGarrette maybe messes up, or Le'Veon plays well, or defenses start to key in on what the Steelers are doing. Might not happen in the first 4 weeks. There might be a pretty good split there. But like I said, I believe in Le'Veon Bell as a talent, and that's why I'm comfortable with him as my number two running back in round three.
I believe that we will win. Remember that?
I think so.
Goodbye. That was USA Soccer.
Okay.
That whole craze. By the way, Jamie will come in a little bit. Big day for Jamie today. He'll tell you about it when he gets on the air. Steven Jackson returned to practice yesterday. His ADP is 100th overall.
You've been the guy championing, whatever I'm trying to say.
Championing him. At 100th overall, I will take any starting running back on a good offense. Dave, last six games, Steven Jackson last year in standard scoring leagues, 13, 20, 7, 15, 11, and 9 fantasy points. He only averaged 4 yards per carry in one of those games.
It's all touchdowns.
It scored 6. That's exactly my point. He doesn't have to be a good, effective running back anymore. He can fall into production at 100th overall. That's round 9. It's hard to turn that down.
I agree with you. And it's funny, in the draft that we did at Foxborough, I drafted Devontae Freeman, and you were mad at me because I kept passing on Steven Jackson round after round, and I was down to my last three picks.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first two were back-to-back picks. I took my kicker first just to make the point about how much I didn't want to draft Steven Jackson. I took Steven Gostkowski first, then Steven Jackson, then with the last pick in the draft, I took whatever DST was
Niners.
Left available. And there was the Niners that fell into my lap. I was very happy with that. Yeah, you're waiting for Steven Jackson. I'm fine with that ADP.
Okay.
I don't think he should go higher, that's for sure.
Tampa Bay looking at Richie Incognito to play guard. And really, I think the storyline here for fantasy owners is
they need help at guard.
So what does that
Incognito
do
might suck as a teammate, especially when you're not on the field. But when you are on the field, he's probably a good guy to have. He's a good run blocker. Not a great one, good one.
But does this scare you for Doug Martin, the fact that they're...
No, it's proof that they're trying to get him help. They want him to...
But if they don't get him, and I don't...
If they don't sign him, then it means that they're comfortable with what they have. Or they've got another guy that they're going to get, or they're going to wait for somebody to get cut and then sign him. They're trying to improve their offensive line. They know it's a weakness. But Doug Martin is still somebody who's going to get the ball a lot and should be good. He's in my top 12 at running back. He's ahead of Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Giants, I mentioned Jeff Schwartz, the injury yesterday. He's out at least 6 weeks, could miss the season with the dislocated toe. He's their left guard.
It stinks, but he's not the end-all, be-all for that offensive line. He's a nice part of it, but he's not.
I don't think it's going to be a good offensive line.
It'll be better than last year.
It will be, but that's not saying much. The Niners place Navarro Bowman on the PUP list.
And they also put Marcus Lattimore on the NFI list, which means this running back that we've just been waiting and waiting for going to miss at least the first six games of this season with an injury. And he who knows if he's ever going to play.
What does it mean for Bowman? 8 games he's out?
I think he can't practice for 6 weeks, and then I think he can't play for 8 weeks. And it might be the same exact thing for the NFI. So I might have to correct myself there. But, yeah, he's going to miss half the season. That's a nice pick late in IDP drafts. You just draft him, stash him on deep IDP drafts, stash him on your bench, and wait for him to come back, and hopefully he'll be about as good as he was last year.
Tweet of the day comes from Dan Fuentes, and then we'll start getting into the emails here. The three players that seem to end up on all of your respective teams and where to grab them.
I always try and get Matthew Stafford. That's like one of the big targets that I want at quarterback, and I look for him in round 4. But I've been in plenty of drafts where I see him go earlier than round four. If it's late round three, pull the trigger. I think he's going to have a monster year. You know how I feel about Zach Ertz. I've been talking him up, and now he's like a round eight guy because I've talked him up so much that people who draft with me know that I'm targeting him. So they're going for him. And a couple of receivers that I'm looking at real late. Kenbrell Tompkins with the Patriots, John Brown with the Cardinals. It's not like I was tipped off to those guys. We've seen what John Brown can do. We've seen it this preseason. I'm convinced he's going to end up being the third receiver for Arizona, and I think he'll keep that job as long as he doesn't have some sort of rookie meltdown. And I think Kenbrell's going to end up starting and playing copious amount of snaps in the New England Patriots offense. He had a couple of – I think he had a big drop in their preseason game against Carolina. So he's not a perfect receiver, but I think he's going to be pretty darn good. So those are four players that I'm looking at. Not a single one of them are running back. Let's name a running back, Adam.
Stephen Ridley for me.
Really?
Yeah.
You're still in love with Stephen Ridley?
No. He's a backup for me.
But what round are you trying to get him in?
Round six, round seven, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, you're going to get him if you're drafting with me.
I think of all the running backs I see on the board at that time, I see him as having the highest upside. We've already seen his upside. We know what it is if he stays on the field, if he stays on the roster, first of all. And I believe just what we've seen in the preseason, that he is clearly the best ball carrier on the team. So
you know what his rushing average is this preseason?
In the fours?
3.9.
All right.
But it's better than Shane Vereen's, and I love Shane Vereen too. That's a running back I wouldn't mind getting if I don't get Stafford in round four.
Yeah.
That's probably my backup plan in round four. I like Andre Williams still with the Giants, even with the offensive line not being what you want to be. I just think there's tons of potential for that guy.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for Stephen Ridley. I think you look for a guy that's going to be in a high-powered offense that rushes for a lot of touchdowns, and I understand that a lot of his fumble issues actually come in the red zone at bad times, so I hope he doesn't lose red zone carries, but I like the appeal there. Cordarrelle Patterson, I've been very sold on him.
Me too.
And just seeing him get behind the defense, catch whatever, like a 67-yard touchdown, whatever it was.
A lot of receivers are going to do that to Kansas City this year.
Yeah, he's just so good, and I think he's the next – I think he could be the next superstar in the NFL.
He really could be.
So I took him in round five in a slow draft.
I'd love to get
yesterday.
Him there.
But second
that's
pick a,
that's
round
another
five.
You know, I keep talking about these guys that I want in round four. Stafford, Vereen, Cordarrelle Patterson. I need to start making moves in drafts where I just load up on fourth-round picks, even if it costs me my third-round pick.
But what I did with Patterson yesterday, Dave, was
I just take these guys in the third round.
I had two running backs, two receivers after four picks, Charles and Martin, Nelson and somebody. And I was looking at a flex, and there was Frank Gore there. It was very interesting to me. There was a group of running backs that I felt had bust potential. Mm-hmm. And I said, screw it. I'll wait another round or two on running back, and I'm going to go with Patterson as my flex. And that's the new reality of fantasy football. I don't know how new it is anymore, but with the status of running backs and the passing in the NFL, I'm going with the wide receiver in that situation over a running back I have a lot of questions about.
How would you like a real-time update on Jeff Schwartz?
Oh, yeah.
Give me some real-time update music to lead me in.
Now to our CBSSports.com news desk with Dave Richard. Bum, 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 bum.
Thank you very much. An update from the New York Giants. Guard Jeff Schwartz has had a dislocated right big toe examined by Dr. Robert Anderson. He will be in a walking boot for approximately 7 to 10 days. And then he will be evaluated on a week-to-week basis. Schwartz is calling it, quote, a minor setback. Maybe he won't be gone.
Well, minimum 6 weeks, they said.
Well, hopefully he'll be back sooner than that for the G-men.
I hope so.
And for Andre Williams.
Yeah.
And Rashad Jennings.
All right, the other guy I draft a lot is Ben Roethlisberger. I like to take him late.
Based on what I uncovered in the podcast yesterday, where Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Jake Locker are all good kind of, part-time players along with Russell Wilson, I'm kind of buying into that strategy. If you really, really want to wait on a quarterback, you draft Rivers first, Wilson second, or maybe it's got to be the other way around because Wilson's done so well this preseason. And you start your season with those guys where you typically start Russell Wilson every week, but in those matchups where he's on the road outdoors, where he's been bad most of his career, you go with the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I think I'm going to write about that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. All right, let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com.
And I like the news update music, too.
Thank you. Please put football podcast in the subject line. If you want us to grade a trade, please put grade the trade football. I just got to make sure I don't get it confused with our baseball emails. AJ in Boston. All right, so I'm looking at a lot of teams. I don't usually do this, but I picked out some drafts. Everybody wants us to grade their draft or whatever. Let's just see how teams did, okay?
All right.
So how our users did. So AJ in Boston. Hello, Peyton, Drew, and Aaron.
Girls' names.
Broadly, if you come out of the draft with great running... Oh, this isn't necessarily a grade the team.
That's all right.
If you come out of the draft with great running back depth, would you trade it to balance out your team or wait for another owner to develop a need? I ended up with incredible running backs in a 14-team half-point PPR keeper league. Forte, Stacy, Alfred Morris, Ray Rice, and Jeremy Hill.
Nice.
He happens to have a really good team, but he could use one to maybe upgrade a quarterback where he has RG3. He's got Cruz, Crabtree, Golden Tate. I mean, this is a winning team if you get it anything solid at quarterback. So, what do you do here? Do you wait to deal your depth, or do you do it now?
The only time I'll make a deal before the season starts is if I get a player that I couldn't have drafted for a player that I took at a certain spot. So, for example, let's say I'm AJ and I got Ray Rice in round 5. If I can trade Ray Rice for Matthew Stafford, who was in round 4, I'll make that deal. I'm not going to trade Ray Rice for... You know, Andrew Luck, who was gone 2 rounds later, I could have had Andrew Luck then. I made the decision then to stay with Ray Rice. I'm not going to go and dump him for a player who was taken later than that.
And but if you could trade...
I think it's got to be a no-brainer type of a deal, too. Right. I don't like making trades before the season starts if it's close or if it's even. I've got to look at the offer and go, what?
His headset just fell off.
I did it. I put my hands down. I did the head shake, and I went, what? It's got to, my eyes have to bulge out of my head, like in the cartoons.
That's awesome.
That's
yeah.
how I have to feel if I'm going to make a trade.
Okay.
Either that or, yeah, pretty much that.
From Mark. From?
Pensacola, Florida. I think I've done that one fairly
so
recently,
times.
Right?
Yeah.
How about, why am I blanking on this?
There's a lot of states.
There are. Give me a state and I'll try and come up with a
time. Alaska.
Juneau.
Yeah.
Juneau.
Do you know, for some reason last night, I was counting the amount of states I visited because I just went
Were
to
you
Providence
at dinner with friends?
For the first time. I was on the phone with my friend.
Okay, that's okay then.
25 states. Providence is number 25 I've been to.
So you've been to half the country.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. Have you been to Hawaii?
No, but I've been to Alaska. From Mark.
Not the same.
Do you suggest using standard rankings or PPR rankings when you're drafting in a half-point PPR league?
I will mostly stick to standard rankings because the half-point in a PPR league really doesn't create much of an edge for wide receivers and tight ends versus running backs. It'll give them a small edge, and you can consider that if there's a player with, you know, say Eric Decker's still on the board, all right? And we're not big fans of Eric Decker, but I think he can catch 80 passes this year.
Uh-huh.
And if the best running back left at the time when he's on the board is Chris Johnson might catch 30 passes this year and might get more yardage than Eric Decker, but the extra 25 points that you get for Decker, Chris Johnson shouldn't have 250 more yards than Decker. And Decker might even end up having more touchdowns. So maybe in that situation, Decker goes ahead of Chris Johnson.
Let me give you some more scenarios here. I just want to look up your PPR rankings real quick. Okay. PPR,
is
you
this
go...
Full PPR or half-point
PPR? PPR, you go Andre Ellington over Alfred Morris.
Yes.
Half-point PPR, who would you take?
I think I'd go with Morris.
Morris?
Because even if Ellington, I think I'm giving him a few fewer touchdowns than Morris, and probably yardage-wise, they're close. And obviously I'm giving Ellington probably close to 50 catches this year, if not more than that. So that might be 40 more catches than Alfred Morris, which means 20 more fantasy points. It's negligible. It's less than 2 points per game.
That's a lot, though.
What, 2 points per game?
Yeah.
No, it's not that much.
Oh, that's a lot.
No. How many fantasy games are decided by 3 points
it's
or
not,
fewer?
It's not. Well, think about when you look at, let's say, like, wide receiver.
I'm not gonna take one player over there just because they're gonna get 1.2 more fantasy points per game in a half point PPR, and that's assuming that everything follows through with the projection, which is, you know, not likely.
I'm going to disprove your
so argument. You think we should go with the full point PPR? I'm
no,
all for
no,
it.
No. I'm saying
Morris saying, over Ellington.
That's fine, but I am saying that 2 points a game at a position is huge.
Depends on the position.
235, 32. The difference between Knowshon Moreno and Adrian Peterson last year was 32 points. 2 points per game.
That's exactly 2 points per game.
Yeah.
And that's the first.
And that's the fifth running back, 2-3, compared to the eighth running back.
Right, but they're both finishing in the top 10.
I'm probably still
doing well in my fantasy leagues with either guy.
165.
Although
I'm sure
a lot of people out there had both of them.
The difference between Chris Johnson, who was number 9, and Giovanni Bernard, who was number 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, was 2 points per game. So, I mean, it's a big difference. It doesn't seem like a big difference.
Yeah, but you're also comparing end-of-year results, and it's not necessarily a game-by-game type thing.
No, it's not. And that's, by the way, standard scoring. But, if you get 2 points per game at every position, that's huge.
Yeah, at every position,
But you're drafting for 2 more points per fantasy game. That's a big deal.
If the projections turn out to be dead-on accurate.
Which they always are.
Never.
Jesse Murphy. Have you ever nailed a projection?
Like, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
There's always a few every year that we get.
Nice.
But it's not our place to, you know, toot our horn over it because, hey, look, we got a Matt Schaub projection right because there's for everyone we get right, there's going to be 50 that we totally botch. And by 50, I mean probably more like 50.
All right, Jesse Murphy, 10 teams, 6-point quarterback touchdown, -3 interception. $200 auction. How does this scoring increase the value of the top three quarterbacks?
It doesn't. Not enough.
Yeah. Remember, everybody, our rankings are based on 6 points per passing touchdown.
Right.
Nick Smith, which DST do you find yourself winding up with?
I like to get the Patriots a lot.
Yeah.
I think that they're the second best DST you can get. I like the Steelers, even though they haven't looked good. And the reason for that is mostly because I like their front seven and I love their schedule to begin the year. They have so many matchups against weak offenses that they shouldn't be allowing a ton of points on a weekly basis. Playing the matchups with DSTs, cool. The Bears are one that I'm always ending up with late. Their defense has stunk this preseason, but they play Buffalo in week one. I think they have the Jets in week three. They actually have San Francisco in week two. They haven't looked good this preseason, so maybe they get off to a hot start because of the schedule. And then, you know, Cincinnati falls. San Francisco's been falling. I don't mind taking them. Green Bay is another one that
could be
improved.
How about the Rams? And is Tavon Austin going to return?
I think he's going to end up doing it since he can't contribute a ton on offense. They're going to find ways to use him and maximize what he does best, which is, you know, speed and quickness with the ball in your hands. They, for whatever reason, on offense, they're not going to give him 8 touches per game, 10 touches per game.
But that's a good defense, and you might get a couple of touchdowns out of Austin. However,
right, but I'm not ending up with them. That's the thing.
I have been, I guess, but I'm a little worried now that Bradford's out that their defense is just going to be on the
field all the time. There could be some pressure. There could be some pressure on them. Yeah. You know, because whatever you can say about their defense and their front four is the best in football. Their defensive line is just outstanding. You can say all you want about it, but if Sean Hill turns the ball over deep in their own territory, I don't care how good a defense is. That's trouble.
Right.
It's at least 3 points against them.
Phil in Denver. 14-team PPR league. Am I crazy to trade away my 7th overall pick for the 14th overall pick because I love drafting at the turn?
Oh, they would trade draft positions, you're saying. So it's not just I'm going to give away my 7th round, my first round pick for... Yeah, man, draft where you want to draft. The thing is that in a PPR league, I don't mind drafting 7th because I know I'm guaranteed one of the top 4 running backs or Calvin, Demarius, Jimmy Graham.
And that's funny because in a PPR league, I like drafting last. Well, let's say 12th.
Right.
12. I wouldn't mind 14th in PPR because I will go
receiver.
And get 2 of the top 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's up to you, Phil. If you like the idea of starting your team with, it'll probably end up being Calvin or Demarius or Jimmy Graham. If you like those guys, stay at 7. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to start your team with Brandon Marshall and AJ Green.
Yeah.
Move to 14.
Sounds good.
I think he's going to move to 14.
This next one is from David from Pensacola, Florida.
Fallon, Nevada.
Dear Ralph, Milhouse, and Nelson, and I'd like to pause this podcast, Dave, because this Simpsons marathon has been just unbelievable. I am having the best time. But now the good episodes are over. Still, it has been a hell of a, like, 5 days of Simpsons taking in.
I've been watching The Simpsons since they were on the Tracy Ullman show.
So, I've seen all the episodes, great. But yeah, it's just amazing to see them all back to back to back to back. Back, 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 back.
Yeah, yeah. You could also buy the DVDs.
I have the DVDs.
The same exact thing.
It's just it's like I'm part of an event. Everybody's going to be talking about this for years.
Do you think that they could make a Simpsons cable channel where they just play Simpsons episodes 24/7?
No.
Year round, and people would just, when there's nothing on, they just go to the Simpsons channel and kick back and watch an old episode
maybe.
Of The Simpsons.
Maybe. I pretty much have that in my DVR.
Right.
I have like 70 episodes.
I have that with preseason games.
Oh, that's good. All right, here's the question. I had my draft this past weekend, and with the 6th overall pick, 12-team standard league, please evaluate my team. He took Monte Ball with the 6th pick, mm-hmm. standard scoring.
Okay.
He took Julio Jones, and then he took Randall Cobb. He was hoping for a running back that he wanted to follow him in round 3, but he didn't. But it didn't happen, so he took Cobb.
All right, so he starts with the 1 running back and 2 wide receivers. Let's see what the rest of this team looks like.
Ray Rice, Matt Ryan, Trent Richardson, Pierre Thomas, Terrence West, Kyle Rudolph.
Notice how many receivers he has now through 9 rounds.
2.
Still 2.
Reuben Randle, Zach Ertz, Percy Harvin as a keeper in round 12, which helps his strategy, yeah. and Ronnie Hillman and the Rams. And the reason I included this email is we've talked about this strategy of loading up on mid-round running backs, which he did. So his running backs are Monte Ball, Ray Rice, Trent Richardson, Pierre Thomas, Terrence West, and Ronnie Hillman late.
As the handcuff to Ball, which is smart.
He's got Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, and Percy Harvin, and Matt Ryan, and Zach Ertz, and Kyle Rudolph. I think this is smart drafting, and I like the team, Dave. How about you?
I might have tried to get Bernard Pearson there,
mm-hmm.
but he might have had to do that when he took Pierre Thomas. And, you know, for all the warts on any Saints running back, Thomas is still the guy who stands out as the best one of the three. And Drew Brees said something after the preseason game about how he's fortunate to have so many guys he's been playing with for a long time around him. And he included Thomas in those guys, and that comfort level for him working with Pierre Thomas, that's big for Brees. And I think it could end up being big for the Saints if they can't really figure out how they're going to use these running backs. The coach will just say, okay, let's stick with Pierre. That's who Brees likes. That's who's been the most reliable for us. Let's give him the chance until he can't do it anymore.
I want to talk a little bit more about Pierre Thomas because Darren Sproles in 2011, when he played 16 games.
I'm sure this will be relevant. Go ahead.
He was the number 10 running back in standard scoring leagues.
Yes, he was.
And he did that with just 87 rushing attempts and 2 rushing touchdowns. But he caught 86 passes for 710 yards and 7 touchdowns. So obviously he was better
at PPR.
It's
those receiving touchdowns. I mean, listen, the fact that he caught all those yards, too, was a huge boon for him. But catching 7 touchdowns.
He did it 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And he did it the second year in 13 games. So.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. And if Pierre Thomas inherits that role, I don't think he's getting 7 at him, but 4 or 5.
And
on top of whatever he does running the football.
I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10 running back in standard scoring formats.
He's a guy that can fill in for you.
But he could be top 15.
Listen, David's team is probably going to need Pierre Thomas for week 1.
Right,
against Atlanta. Ray Rice is suspended. You can go with Trent Richardson against Denver, but I think that's going to hurt. I think Pierre Thomas is who he ends up starting in week 1.
Jason at Fantasy BBJ.
Fantasy Baseball Jay.
Yeah.
Writing about fantasy football.
There you go. Or maybe it's Basketball Jay. 12-team PPR. Start 3 receivers, 2 running backs, and a flex, which is only a wide receiver or a running back. Do you change how you draft? Maybe 4 wide receivers and rotate the 2 running backs?
Or the second running back?
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
rotate
I'm just RB2. Yeah.
Right. I think you definitely have to prioritize taking wide receivers. You could do what the last emailer did and go running back, receiver, receiver in your draft. You've got 2 stud wide receivers. You know you're not going to take them out of your lineup unless something really bad happens. And then later on, you pick up a couple of wideouts. There's good depth there.
Yeah.
I mean, for all that we bellyache about, you know, oh, Eric Decker and Marcus Colston and, you know, Danny Amendola and all these guys later on that just aren't appealing. In a PPR league, those guys actually are appealing. Maybe not Amendola.
No.
Right, fine. So throw him out. But the other guys, they're fine. There's going to be good depth there. And you'll find your third wide receiver among them. I probably would wait on a quarterback and a tight end here because running backs and receivers, you need to start combined six of them every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably focus on filling those spots sooner than later.
Colin Dinney, both Terrence West and Jeremy Hill are available in my 10-team league. Which has the better shot at a bigger role, West or Hill?
I think it's West. Think about who these guys are behind at running back. Terrence West behind Ben Tate. Sure, Tate's looked good, but he also has a track record of getting banged up. Hill is behind Giovanni Bernard. In order for Hill to get that role, to be the every-down guy and to be the bigger role running back, he's got Giovanni Bernard's going to have to get hurt. It's as simple as that.
Dave, you have the 13th pick tonight in a 14-team PPR league.
It's true.
What do you think you're going to do?
I probably will lean toward receiver, but I'm certainly not going to neglect a running back who I think is worth starting with either of those first two picks.
What you're doing with your legs is really disturbing me.
Well, why are you looking? I'm just...
I'm trying not to, but I'm making eye contact with you.
This is very uncomfortable all of a sudden. We were moving right along in a nice podcast, and then all of a sudden, you're staring at a part of my body.
I'm not staring at anything. You're moving your legs like an accordion, in and out, and it's gross. I'm sorry.
So now I've moved over to the other side of the room and I've put a chair between my legs. Now if you want to look, you have to look at the chair.
All right. Next email is from Matt from a city in the Midwest, Dave. This is your wheelhouse.
Let's go with Gouverneur, New York.
What?
Yeah. You can't always live where you want to live, Adam. That's just how it is.
I'm picking fourth in a 10
team. Now where are you looking?
I'm picking fourth in a 10
turn,
team.
Turn.
Give me a break.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm picking fourth.
Now my back
team.
Is to you. Now you can't even see me.
Half-point PPR league. 10-team half-point PPR league. I'm going to pick any of the top four running backs, and I know I'm getting one of the top seven wide receivers in round three.
So how does he know that?
Please help in choosing my RB2. Martin, Morris, Ball, Geo, Stacy. Please rank them. Doug Martin, Alfred Morris, Monte Ball, Geo Bernard, Zach Stacy, half-point PPR.
I'm going to lean on what I told you earlier, which is go by the standard rankings that I have, and so here we go. Monte Ball's at the top of the list. I'm going to have Geo ahead of Alf based on what Jamie and I talked about yesterday. So Alf would be 3, Doug Martin would be 4, and that means Zach Stacy is 5.
Wait, okay, so...
Would you like me to run down again?
Ball, Geo...
Ball, Geo, Morris, Martin, Stacy.
Okay. Let's see. Our next one is from...
How's my back look?
Looks great.
Thanks.
I don't have a name on this one or a city.
Clyde is this person's name. And Clyde's from St. Paul, Minnesota. Go ahead.
I had a draft today. I ran into something I feel doesn't get addressed enough. The dreaded auto picks.
What?
My boss scheduled a draft at a time I couldn't make it home for, but gave me the go-ahead to stay late and draft from work on our Wi-Fi. I was at the 12 spot, and I started out with DeMarco Murray and Demaryius Thomas, which I liked. However, the work internet cut out, and I auto-drafted in rounds 3 and 4. I ended up with Garcon and Vincent Jackson. I got back online before my next picks.
You know, this wouldn't happen if you draft at CBSSports.com because you could download the CBS Sports Fantasy app.
That's right.
And draft from anywhere. Now, there's a chance Clyde doesn't even have a cell phone or a mobile device. So maybe that's the case, and that's why he fell into this horrible, horrible situation. Go on, Adam.
Okay, I was hurting for a viable RB2. How do you think I ended up? Did I salvage a competitive team? And do I deserve a raise or perhaps a paid vacation for having the work internet cut out during our draft and stick me like this? So his team is Cutler, Murray, Richardson, Demaryius Thomas, Pierre Garcon, Vincent Jackson at flex, Kyle Rudolph and Vinatieri, and he has Chris Johnson, Bishop Sankey, Fred Jackson, Mark Ingram, Kelvin Benjamin, and Doug Baldwin on his bench, and Big Ben.
That's a good team.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, especially in a 12-team league.
Load up on those RBs. Well done, work Wi-Fi, Clyde. From James, stationed at NAF Atsugi in Japan. I'm sure
nice.
I butchered that, but that's cool.
He's part of our armed forces.
Gronk was there late in the third round. I had the 11th pick out of 12 in a standard scoring league, so I took Rob Gronkowski. I went running back with my first two picks, and now I have Floyd and Garcon as my top two receivers. How do you think I did?
I actually think that's pretty good if those are your receivers after starting the way you did.
Monte Ball and Gio Bernard, Gronkowski, Garcon, and Floyd.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I figure one of those two receivers are going to step up and do something good this year. I think it might end up being Floyd and not Garcon. I actually bumped Garcon down in my rankings.
Why are you? Can you turn around now?
No.
Just this year, I'm talking to the back of your head.
I don't want you looking at my body.
I won't. Jeremy Hyde, I lost connection in the middle of my draft over the weekend. How do you recover from the dreaded auto pick, the dreaded auto draft? DST round 9? Come on.
Again, get the CBS Sports Fantasy app.
But what do you do if you auto draft?
Or if you play on another website, I'm sure they've got some sort of app that's halfway decent too.
Okay, but the question is,
how do you recover from an auto draft?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, you're stuck, dude. Sorry that your connection goes out. Life is hard sometimes.
Well,
do you start making
some trades? You're probably going to be, steadier at one position than at others. So I think you start making trades.
You can try to, but it's hard to make trades before the season. You're going to have to wait till after week one.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's hard.
Drafting with you, trading with you maybe, but a lot of people trade before the season starts.
Yeah, and it's weird.
The Grizzly Beard. The Seahawks defense outscored players like Adrian Peterson in 2013. Are you reaching for them earlier than other defenses?
Nice to hear from the Grizzly Beard.
Yeah.
They're the first DST off the board. We've seen them get picked. I mean, round 4 notwithstanding, round 8, round 9. At the event at Foxborough, I made a dude who drafted the Seahawks DST in round 9 stand up in front of the entire restaurant and explain why he took them before round 10. And he gave his explanation. I still disagreed with the pick. And then we had a bunch of leagues do their drafts later on that day. And there were still people in those drafts taking the Seahawks DST in rounds 8 and 9.
Yeah.
People want what they want, and they see the Seahawks DST, and they go, all right, I just want a defense that I don't have to sweat, and it's a unit that should finish in the top 5, at least the top 5, potentially the top 1. And so that's the allure of the Seahawks DST. I like waiting until at least round 10.
Yeah, and for how good they were only 7 points better than the Chiefs, 18 points better than the Panthers. I've never been the one to draft the Seahawks DST. They always seem to go,
because you always wait for one.
Yeah, they always seem to go earlier than I'm willing to go.
But, and I've said this before, if I really love my team after 9 picks, like just say guys fall to me perfectly and I catch perfect, I'll gladly take the Seahawks DST in round 10.
I'm looking at the DST totals year to year, and they are very inconsistent.
They are. It's a problem.
It's a guessing game.
It's not once the season gets going. It's a little bit easier.
That's true. But
you judge your DSTs by the sack potential and the pass rush and by the kick return guys.
I'm trying to find the last time a DST
finishing consecutive seasons as the number 1.
Yeah.
That's going to be a while.
Yeah, I'm all the way in 2005 now, and it just hasn't happened. So
right. The nice thing about the Seahawks DST, they finished top 6 each of the last 3 years.
Right, it's nice. It's good.
Yeah. It's good.
But do you think they'll be hurt by all the rules changes? It's basically because of them.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think anybody on that team is changing how they play.
Well, that's not going to help, because apparently they're going to throw a lot of flags against them.
It's possible. But, if they throw a bunch of flags, the yardage that's accumulated by those flags doesn't count against them.
I know, but it's going to lead to more points.
It might.
It
might
will.
Not. Not if they're good in the red zone.
Come on. Then they'll get more field goals, less turnovers.
That's fine. No, they could always intercept the pass.
Yeah, but come on. There's no way you can sit here and say that more penalties called against them is not going to hurt them on defense.
You're assuming that they're going to be in that situation.
I'm just saying if
everybody, first of all, every team's going to have more penalties called on them. If this preseason is any indication, every team is going to have
more. If this preseason is any indication, this is my last year as a football fan.
Well, that's a terrible thing to say.
I won't watch a game I mean, I will, but I won't want to watch a game
don't
with that many
like
penalties. Rich, where's Rich from?
Forney, Texas.
Dear Sumner, Sherry, and Leslie.
You got me.
I think these are CBS executives, if I remember from Rich's email.
Ah, that's exactly what it is.
I'm not sure how Jimmy Graham got a $15,000 fine per dunk when Johnny Headset only got a $12,000 fine. Do you think next time Jimmy Graham scores, he should take a few steps like he's going to dunk, stop, and give the league the finger? It will cost him less. What are some good fines that you know of fantasy leagues handing out?
Good fines. I know that the person who shows up last to the draft has to pick last in the first two rounds. They make a special rule where if you're the last one there, you pick last in the first two rounds.
That's harsh.
Yeah, it's tough. If you're late to make a pick, if the clock expires, you don't get to make that pick until three picks later. You're penalized three picks.
Wow.
If you don't pick on time. In my leagues, if you don't bring me nachos to the draft, you're out of the league.
Yeah, yeah. I almost got kicked out of the auction league. I'd rush and get you nachos.
You had to. And by the way, they were very mediocre.
I was pressed on time.
You're lucky. You are lucky that I let you stay in the league.
Next time,
I expect like a big sombrero, an edible sombrero with nacho cheese and jalapenos all
like
along
like in
the
Simpsons.
Inside.
Nacho, definitely. Nacho man.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how food should be consumed.
Last email is from Jake. I know you hate grading teams, but I was wondering if I needed to pick up / trade for another sleeper running back. 12-team standard league. His team is Romo, DeMarco Murray, Andre Ellington, Demaryius Thomas, Cordarrelle Patterson, Toby Gerhardt, and Dennis Pitta. And on his bench, he has Vereen, Devontae Freeman, Zach Ertz, Jordan Matthews, and Mike Evans.
Holy moly, I love this team.
Yeah, it's a good
team. So if I had to grade it, I'd give it like a 95. And on top of that, here's an example of a fantasy owner who probably his first three picks were DeMarco, Demaryius, and Ellington. He waited to find a quarterback. Romo probably fell to him. Might have waited a little bit for Pitta as well. And look at all the other players. He got Patterson. He got Gerhardt. Those must have been his fourth and fifth round picks in some sort of order. Vereen is on his bench.
Don't
Might
you
have been
like
his round six guy.
Gerhardt better than Ellington in standard?
No. I made that move to put Ellington ahead of Gerhardt.
Yeah, Gerhardt is big for this team. Like, if you have Ellington and Vereen.
But even if he doesn't have Gerhardt, he could pick from Vereen or Ertz.
But if you have Ellington
or maybe
and Vereen
even Mike Evans is his flex.
Ellington and Vereen in a standard scoring league. Is it okay to have those two guys rotating as your RB2?
You better have really good wide receivers or one great receiver in Jimmy Graham to get away with that.
Right.
If it's that, then it's.
Yeah, this is a really good team. I know Jamie would love this team. It's got Romo,
Jamie would love any team
Pitta.
With Romo, Pitta, Ellington,
and Murray.
Green, and Patterson.
He's on the Patterson.
He would. Yeah, he likes Cordarrelle. Yeah.
Well, I knew he liked
him. He loves this team.
All right, thanks, Dave.
You're welcome, Adam.
Dave from Chicago, Illinois.
What's wrong? What am I doing wrong now?
I have to close my eyes to finish this podcast and turn my head.
Come on, Adam.
To block my view.
Oh, you're looking at me again.
I'm not looking at you again at all. I'm Adam Azer for
Dave
Richard.
This must be how Sharon Stone felt when she was filming that scene in Basic Instinct. This is the creepiest podcast ever.
Quite. And we'll have less creepy, more informative podcasts tomorrow.
This was also informative.
Yeah, it was good. It was
creepy
good.
Because you're creepy.
Right.
Yet informative.
Hairy, creepy.
I didn't say hairy, but I mean, since you
applied
it, you're right.
See you later.
Bye.